Right here, live on WCRS, Senator Larry Grooms is right down there, right in Columbia. He's working today. In fact, I understand we may have to cut this interview short because he may have to go vote. So how are you doing today, Senator Larry Grooms?
I'm doing well. It's a wonderful day. I think we may have winter behind us, what winter we had, but it's always a great day.
But wait a minute. It's always a great day in South Carolina. Isn't that correct?
Yes, it is.
Yes, according to Governor Haley, anyways, and everybody that answers the phone down there.
Just some days are greater than others.
Absolutely. Now, you, of course, are running for District 1, and, of course, that was Tim Scott's Congress seat. And how goes the process?
Well, the primary is this coming Tuesday. For anyone that's got family or friends living on the coast, tell them to vote Grooms because I'm the best one. The campaign's going well. Thank you.
Very good. Now, I understand, actually, we need to go ahead and wish you happy birthday, and I suppose it will be an even happier birthday if you are victorious on Tuesday.
Well, the primary is the 19th, and I do gain another year on the 20th.
So it could be a very happy birthday for you. But, Larry, I wanted to talk to you about why exactly did you want to go, I'll say, to the next level, to Congress? You're already serving in the Senate down there, and I understand you've been in office since 1997. Why do you want to go on to Congress?
The same reasons I got in politics to start with. I'm a little bit upset with the direction government's going, and every day I'm more concerned at what's being taken from our families, what's being taken from our children and the next generation. And I've been here 15 years, and I've learned an awful lot. And during that time, I've accumulated over 10,000 votes for the conservative cause. What we lack in Washington are people with rock-solid principles that aren't willing to trade those for convenience, and that's the problem. When politicians trade principles for convenience, the entire nation and our state suffers. And I'm fortunate in this race. There's some people in Washington from the South Carolina delegation that I've worked with in the past. They know me. They know my character. They know the things that I've done. They know I've had the ability to stand up to leadership when they were wrong and work with them when they were right. So Congressman Jeff Duncan took the unusual step of reaching into a very crowded primary, even against a former governor, and saying, people of the first district, I know Grooms, and I want him to be our congressman. So I'm very thankful for that endorsement of Congressman Duncan.
And so did Congressman Mick Mulvaney.
And Congressman Mick Mulvaney. So two of our delegation members have already asking the people of the first district.
Absolutely. Well, I know that you're real involved with what's going on because of your Senate job right now, but you're also looking to the future with what's going on up there in Congress. And I would be curious, how do you feel about term limits?
I would embrace term limits for everyone. I think it would be a wonderful change. The problem we have now, political power becomes concentrated, and if Western civilization and history have taught us anything, anytime political power becomes concentrated, that power becomes corrupt and abusive. It happens over and over again. Those that have been there the longest, those that have collected the power tends to, I'm not saying that all politicians are corrupt, but corruption happens when power is concentrated. Term limits would go a long way of diffusing that.
What do you feel about in the state level?
I would support term limits at the state level. The bill hasn't gone anywhere so far, and that is one reason I've introduced a constitutional amendment to allow for petition initiatives. And petition initiatives for anyone that has an issue and they want to see it become law. If the General Assembly is unwilling or unable to move a bill forward, then that can be originated by the people. And most states, 36 states, have petition initiatives. We do not in South Carolina. And the reason I think we don't have it is generally the first initiative that passes is a term limit bill.
And you're telling me that our representatives down there don't want to be term limited out, I guess.
There's some that do not.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. Now, let's go on and talk about something else. One of the issues that affects us not only, I mean, there are issues of the South Carolina, the port, of course. I know you've been very big on instrumental in working with that, and I think that's terrific. But another issue that is a huge issue and has become a forefront issue for South Carolina with what's been introduced by Senator Lindsey Graham and Congressman Trey Gowdy is the immigration issue.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about what should happen on immigration?
Well, I'm the primary sponsor of the toughest in the nation immigration bill. The South Carolina immigration bill is what I worked on. I spent a lot of time and spent a lot of energy and was able to bring differing people together that had some different ideas, and we passed one of the toughest in the nation. And what our bill does, for the state standpoint, is that if you're violating federal law, you can be arrested. You can be asked to prove or asked to show your ask if law enforcement has a reasonable suspicion that you're here illegally.
Mm-hmm.
You can be detained if you're not. And that's a very reasonable measure. But the problem is we have a federal government that's not doing what they need to do to protect this nation. We've got a border that they say is being secured, but many times it's not. And with all the illegal immigrants that are in this nation, we've got a group of folks that are saying, well, you know what, they really ought to stay here. That really rubs me wrong, because they're here illegally. That means they are violating federal law. And to give one group a pass on the law, it just doesn't seem right. Our nation, our ability to survive as a country is based on our ability, is based on our belief in the rule of law, which is rooted in constitutional government. But when we say the Constitution and the rule of law doesn't apply to a certain group of people, then we start picking and choosing what laws we will uphold and which ones we won't. And when we do that, then the whole system falls apart, and we've seen examples of that. So if there needs to be changes in federal law, let that debate occur in Congress. But once we have a law, it needs to be enforced. And it needs to start being enforced with securing the border. So that absolutely has to occur before we can start talking about any other changes in federal law.
So your belief is that if we could secure the borders, then there could be conversation about how to deal with illegal immigration.
Absolutely.
Is that okay? Now, on to the budget. Paul Ryan's budget hinges really on overturning Obamacare because of a lack of generating enough dollars into the economy to afford Obamacare. Mm-hmm. And the sequester so far is not really, shall we say, harming. The effects were supposed to be tremendously detrimental on day one. We haven't really seen that. What do you see as, and I know because Jeff Duncan has endorsed you and Mick Mulvaney, who's on the budget committee, I'm sure you've got an inside track on what people are feeling about up there. Where do you feel should be done for the budget?
Well, the sequester, first let's talk about the sequester. That was the sky's falling. You kept hearing it from all sorts of folks on television telling us that. Well, what was the sequester was just a decrease in additional spending. It was there were no real cuts in there. There was a cut to a proposed increase, so the increase would not have been as high in spending, but it was never a actual cut in what any federal agency had received the year prior. We've got to have some actual cuts. Most families understand what it is like to cut the budget when they have a reduction in income. Every business that's out there knows what it's like to cut the budget when they don't have the revenues or the expenses increased. They know how to cut budgets. Federal government does not. I've proposed a plan. It was modeled after what Representative Connie Mack from Florida had proposed. Senator Rand Paul has also endorsed this, and it would be to have a 1% reduction in all federal budgets in each year over the next year, 6 years, and the budget would be balanced. That would be across the board cuts, and I would prefer to go with the Paul Ryan plan. Paul Ryan's budget that he put out there, they're targeted cuts, but they achieve much of the same cost savings. So I do believe in cutting the federal budget, because if we don't, we're at a tipping point in our nation's history, and if we go too much further, I don't know that we get this back. If we ruin the economy, there's a lot of serious consequences that the families of today and tomorrow will have to face.
Absolutely. Now, of course, you're a businessman. You own convenience stores. Is that correct?
I no longer own them.
Oh, okay.
Once upon a time, I did, and I sold most of my business interests.
Did you do that before the economy tanked? I just need to ask.
I had several convenience stores, some restaurants, and a quick oil change facility, a car wash, and it was sold off over a period of years. I haven't sat behind a cash register and actually pushed the buttons in probably more than 10 years.
More than 10 years. Well, then I guess you did do it before the economy tanked, because if you were a business person today, you'd know the amount of regulations and everything that we are all dealing with. I own not only this radio station, but own a jewelry store right here in Greenwood, and it is tremendous what is happening there. What type of action do you think that the Congress, if you're elected to that position, that you would try to put forth so that we wouldn't be dealing with this? Everybody says, oh, do away with the regulations. But how would we get there, Larry?
Well, the government has a government does have a purpose. I mean, I don't want the air polluted so we have health concerns and people are sick all the time. I don't want someone polluting our lakes and our rivers and our streams and we can't have drinking water. There's a reason why we have regulation, but the problem is we have too many regulations, and regulations are very burdensome. They're burdensome to business. Many of them are unnecessary. And what's happening, at least from the federal standpoint, is they're proposing new regulations before the existing ones even take effect. So if you're a large manufacturer and you're looking at locating it in South Carolina, you're looking at spending, let's just say, $20, $30 million for additional pollution equipment because the EPA just changed their rules on the air particulate matter. And so you weigh whether you're going to still build here or go to another country where they don't have that. So you make the decision to stay here. You're going to buy the bullet because you really want to be here, because there's a lot of good benefits by being in a state. So you start building your facility, and midway into it, the EPA changes the regulation again. Now it's going to cost you an additional $140 million and delay your project by 3 or 4 more years. At that point, the business says, you know what, I am fed up. I am going to go somewhere else. The facility's never built. The jobs are never created. And some other place on the planet will receive the economic benefit by it. That's what's happening. And that's got to stop. There needs to be at least a 2-year moratorium on any new regulation so at least business can get caught up. Every regulation has to have more review than what it does right now, and it has to be cost-benefit analysis to all of them. We have to know what we're giving up with this regulation and how it's going to affect the nation.
Absolutely. And I really guess I have one more question I'd love to ask you is, How can with President Obama in the White House, the Senate is basically Democratic, the Republicans are in charge of the House, but it looks like President Obama is trying to make sure that his last 2 years are totally Democratic controlled. How can that help to not happen?
Well, it depends on the resolve of the House of Representatives. The problem is, and I alluded to it earlier, we've got some politicians who are very comfortable with what they're doing. And if the comfort continues by going along with the president, they will. And so you'll have a team of Democrats, rock solid and loyal to the president, and you'll have some, let's say, some Republicans who really have traded some principles for comfort. They'll go along to get along, and next thing you know, we're moving forward in an agenda that most people in South Carolina completely reject, such as I. And politics is a team sport. No one person can do anything by themselves. But when you join with like-minded conservatives, when you join with people that you know and trust, when you join with people and you can act as a team to make things happen, that's when it happens. That's why Congressman Duncan and Congressman Mulvaney have taken a look at this race. And they know who will be the best fit, who will be the best player on the team that's actually making things happen for the conservative movement in South Carolina.
And I guess that would be you?
That's me.
Well, Larry Grooms, is there anything else you'd like to say to our listeners here? I'll open the floor up and let you make a statement right here at the end. I really appreciate you calling us. I know people say, why would WCRS want to talk to the candidates? Well, we do, because we need to be concerned about what's going on in the state and our nation.
And also, if any of the listeners, through Facebook or email, contact your friends and family along the coast. Let them know, listen, I heard this guy Grooms on the radio that they like what he had to say. It's going to be a close election. It's a low turnout, so every vote absolutely counts. And I would like to serve the state of South Carolina in Congress, take my experience that I have here from the state Senate, and be able to apply it to the conservative team that's getting things done.
And if you go to Washington, D.C., will you promise not to drink the water?
If they haven't been able to get to me over the last 15 years here, they're not going to be able to get to me there either.
Well, I know we've sent water up with Congressman Jeff Duncan to make sure he didn't drink the water.
There we go. I'll be sipping on South Carolina water.
Absolutely. Hey, Larry, good luck, and I know you've got to go vote. What are you getting ready to vote for?
It's a constitution. It's an amendment to our state constitution that would allow the Secretary of Education to be appointed by the governor.
And how will you vote on that, Larry?
I believe in changing our constitution, allowing the people of South Carolina an opportunity to vote on it also. And so if this measure is successful here in a little bit, it goes to the House of Representatives. If they agree, then this would be a ballot initiative next November. And every governor likes to campaign about what they could do for education, but in South Carolina, the real power in education is not with the governor, it's with the Secretary of Education.
Absolutely. Well, Larry, thanks so much for calling us this afternoon. Good luck on Tuesday, and happy birthday on Wednesday.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being with you today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This is Senator Larry Grooms. He is campaigning and wants to be the next congressman replacing Tim Scott, which is now a senator, and we wish you all the best. Bye-bye.